I'm Kevin Kelly. This is Live and Local. It's your connection to local music, and we have, I think, an interesting show for you today. We'll be talking with Ward Gallings, who is the fellow who books bands and other entertainment for the High Dive in downtown Champaign, and also the club called Cowboy Monkey. And I certainly want to know where that name comes from, as others may already know. And we'll be talking to Ward, also hearing some recordings that he's brought along of the sort of acoustic acts that he enjoys. Stay tuned. It's Live and Local. Piece they're calling Chitarra Romana, which just means a Roman guitar. In this case, there were no guitars in the recording because it's an arrangement for this wonderful group that calls itself Quartetto Gelato with accordion, oboe, violin, and cello. And we heard them here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. That's the sort of thing that shows up on our classical stacks here at the radio station, and definitely a crossover sort of thing. And the guest on today's Live and Local is going to be playing some things and talking about a lot of groups that will certainly be new to me, and I think perhaps new to some of you, and maybe not to many others. And one of the reasons I wanted to ask Ward Gallings to be on the show. He is the fellow who books acts for two downtown Champaign clubs, High Dive and Cowboy Monkey, and he's been doing this sort of thing for at least 20 years, whether for those two organizations and what used to be the Blind Pig in Champaign. And so interested to hear something about how he goes about that, how he got into that, and the sort of thing that he's doing now and a lot of the music that he likes and so on. And if you hear some sounds in the background, that is Ward's young son, Caleb, I believe. And Ward, first, thanks for coming on the show.
Certainly. Thanks for having me.
And how old is Caleb?
Caleb just turned 5.
And is he your eldest, or how many have you got?
He's my youngest.
He's your youngest.
Yep. I've got three sons. Lucas is 8, going on 9, and I have a son, Cameron, who lives in Minnesota, who's 20, going on 21.
Nice little spread there. So he's about as old as your booking business.
Yep.
It seems like.
Indeed.
So what's your background that ended up getting you into what you're doing?
I guess I always enjoyed music, liked music. I had a good friend in college who just sort of randomly started booking some bands. His name is Chris Corpora, and I sort of was his an unofficial assistant, making tickets and putting up flyers and helping out at the shows. And after he finished doing that, I just sort of took the bull by the horns, and it sort of dropped in my lap. Bob Diener, who I worked with at Record Swap, I'd approached. He was the co-owner of the Blind Pig at the time that it opened, and I approached him about booking some bands here and there because I had some contacts from my previous days working with my buddy Chris. A couple of those bands being Afghan Whigs and Smashing Pumpkins and whatnot. And to my surprise, he said, "Well, would you like to just book the whole club?" And it went from there. I said yes. So like I said, it kind of dropped in my lap. I did that for about 8 years. And I've done High Dive for 10 years now. Cowboy Monkey's been around for 6+. So just kind of dropped in my laps, and I haven't really looked back.
Are you a musician yourself at all?
I used to playing a couple bands here and there. I wanted to be a drummer, but I never really put in the time to get good enough at it, so I was always just mediocre at best. I became a singer one day when I was late for practice. By the time I got down to the basement, my roommate had already taken over, and what would later become a band called the Ward All-Stars. So I was a singer and a drummer at times, but never really, I guess I was a full-fledged musician. You can call it a singer. I learned to, I can't do it probably naturally, but I learned how to do it enough, get up in front of a crowd. I also have, I've toured a lot, mostly with a band called Hum, the local band. I started out just carrying amps and selling t-shirts for them in exchange for some free beers along the way and getting out of town. And that turned into a full-time job where I was doing, selling $1,000 worth of merch a night and doing lights and tour managing and arranging all the hotels and et cetera.
Do, what was I just going to ask you? I'm listening to hear what Caleb has to say.
He was telling me he's listening in the headphones.
Oh, good.
That's great.
Hey, Caleb, do you like listening on the radio? See, now he doesn't.
He nods yes.
Yeah, good.
So I've been a musician. I've been a roadie, shall we say, a tour manager. I've booked bands. I've been on all sides of the equation, it seems.
Are you able to say that you have favorite kinds of music, or are you pretty widely?
I don't think
eclectic?
So, because I've got a lot of different. I've booked a lot of different stuff. People always say, well, what kind of music do you book, at Cowboy Monkey or Hide Heaven? Really, it's good music. And, I'm not necessarily a big metal fan, heavy metal, but there are some bands out there. I have a affinity in my heart to, from when I was younger to, bands like Iron Maiden or Judas Priest or Van Halen, things like that. But then, I've also, I've got an affinity for, bluegrass bands or, some of the acoustic mellower stuff that I brought tonight, country stuff, everything in the middle, really just, it's like when people used to say, what kind of music does your band say? My answer would just generally be, well, rock and roll.
The general wide, which is a huge category on its own, just like acoustic is a wide category in its own. Well, why don't we launch into one of the things you brought? You brought quite a stack here, and let's see how much we can get through. Tell us about who we're going to hear.
We've got queued up Mazzy Star, I don't know what to say about them. big fan of theirs. I'll send this one out to my wife. This is one of her favorite bands, too.
It's called Fade Into You, song written by Hope Sandoval and David Roback, here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Music by the group called Mazzy Star, who are Hope Sandoval and David Roback, who wrote that song called Fade Into You. It was the first selection on today's show by Ward Gollings, who's my guest. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. And support for today's program comes in part from the Rosebud Theater in Effingham, presenting Lyle Lovett and his large band in concert Wednesday, July 15th at 8 p.m., Ticket details are at 217-540-ARTS or at therosebudtheater.com. this shows your connection to local music, and we're connecting with Ward, who has quite an eclectic interest in all kinds of music, and we're hearing a bit about that. And you have to have had lots of interesting experiences with various bands that you've booked in various locations, and you mentioned while we were talking one of them with Mazzy Star in particular. Care to share the cleaned up version?
Mazzy Star once played at the Blind Pig, which is when it was where Cowboy Monkey was, and the show was pretty much sold out. And Blind Pig had a kind of a somewhat limited PA. You know, it was enough to get by, but sometimes with bigger bands, you needed a little bit more. Unfortunately, myself and Mazzy Star's camp, the tour manager, whoever, never hooked up in advance. So when the band showed up on their tour bus, no less, there at the Blind Pig, this is back in probably 92 or something, 93, they sort of took one look at the inside of the club, the size of it, and the PA, and pretty much said, this isn't going to cut it. You need to get this and this and this and this, or we're going to get back on the bus and there's no show. Which, of course, was aggravating, but I rustled up some extra monitors and some other equipment from Mark Rubel down at Pogo Studios. Thank goodness for him. And the show went on, and everybody enjoyed it. The band had, you know, whined a little bit, but to give them credit, they did go on and put on a great show for the folks.
Have they been back in any of your venues?
No. They were a limited, I think they put out 3 full-length records, but I don't think they really toured that much. They were more of a studio band, so it was, you know, it was a special show for sure to be playing such a, you know, a small market for a band that didn't tour much, so.
You have to have had a lot of things that one might call a coup, I would guess, you know, to get somebody who was pretty surprising for a smallish town, but we got such a vibrant music scene.
Yeah, every once in a while you'll get something will land in your lap that you know you probably weren't out there searching for, or you know, digging around with the booking agents. Just off the top of my head, that you mentioned, that the one thing I can think of would be the Black Eyed Peas, who played at the High Dive. What would that have been? That would have been about 2001, summer of 2001, I think. No, summer 2000. But they were opening up for No Doubt, I believe, on a big amphitheater tour, and they had a day off. So, you know, as a lot of bands that are opening on those shows like to do, they, you know, like to squeeze in a club show if they can. I came and they played at High Dive, and it was summertime, so it didn't sell out, and they weren't, you know, they weren't the huge band they are now with you know, Super Bowl appearances and halftime shows, things like that. But the Black Eyed Peas. Yep. But there was still a good 300 people in there, and it was pretty electric, pretty magical. There's still a number of people I know to this day that say that was probably the best show they've ever seen at High Dive, or perhaps even in town.
That has to happen a lot. I mean, I guess you indicated that anyway, that when bands do have, you know, their bigger gigs at either larger stadium towns or venues, and they want to make sure they're working in between as much as possible. Is that how you end up getting a fair number? Or has Champaign-Urbana gotten to be known as a destination, depending upon the size of the group?
It's certainly both. You know, most bands don't like to have very many days off, because if you're not playing, you're not making any money, and you're still spending money, you know, for hotel rooms or to pay your crew, your tour manager or guitar tech or whatever. So it's in their best interest to play. Champaign is certainly put itself on the map as a great stepping stone to other markets in the area. It's nicely distanced between Chicago, obviously, but also St. Louis, Indianapolis, you know, even Memphis, Madison, you know, other college towns like Iowa City. So it's become it's part of the circuit, and there's, you know, fortunately been a good stream of not stream, but there's been a good number of clubs over the years that have helped to keep that going, whether it be Canopy Club or High Dive or Back to the Blind Pig era or even back into the days where there was Mabel's and Trito's Uptown, things like that.
Right, I remember.
Places like that.
They were still around when I got here in the early 90s. Mm-hmm. Canopy Club is in Urbana on the U of I campus right next to the music school there. It would seem to me fair to say, wouldn't you think, that since you've been involved in all this booking, you know, for the two major clubs in Champaign, that you've had an awful lot to do with making Champaign a stepping, you know, either a stepping stone or a, you know, a
sure.
destination.
Well, I guess I'm pretty proud of that. That I've been fortunate over the years to have been able to continually be a part of the music scene and keep propelling it towards hopefully, you know, bigger and better things. I've also been very fortunate to been able to work for great owners who've given me an amazing amount of autonomy to sort of pick and choose and do what I like and do what I think is best for, you know, the venues that I've worked at and, you know, to bring in the music that, you know, not only that I enjoy, but that I hopefully think that many other people will enjoy and will, you know, come out and, I guess, make the whole thing work.
Why don't we hear another example of the sort of things that you liked, and this must be a band that you've booked in the past, Uncle Tupelo, correct?
Yep, a long time ago at the Blind Pig.
And from their CD that is called Still Feel Gone, what did we cue up here?
Still Be Around.
Selection by Ward Gollings on Live and Local here on FM 90.9 with commentary from his 5-year-old son, Caleb.
I don't see you through the windshield. I don't see you in faces looking back at me. Alcohol doesn't have much that matters to say. Can't imagine where you and time to kill will stay. When the Bible is a bottle.
Still Be Around by Uncle Tupelo here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. And my guest on the show today is Ward Gollings, who is making our musical selections for us from his wide area of interest and also pretty big record collection here. We'll hear from him in just a moment. It's time to run down some of the events that you can participate in the next couple of days, musically and theatrically speaking. Tonight at 5:30, it's Mitchell's Bluegrass and Gospel at the Dockside Cafe at Kickapoo Landing in Oakwood. That is, again, tonight at 5:30. Funny Girl is at the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan. That's at 8 o'clock tonight, and then matinee tomorrow at 2 o'clock and an 8 o'clock evening performance. Zoo Improv is at the Indigo Gallery. It's a new small gallery in downtown Champaign. Two performances tonight at 8 o'clock and 10:30. Zoo Improv again tomorrow evening at the Iron Post in Urbana. That's at 8 o'clock. The Peoria Municipal Band is at the Peoria Riverfront tomorrow evening at 7:30. The University of Illinois Summer Band performing on the University Quad in Urbana tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, another free program. And Forever Plaid, the venerable musical, is at Conklin's Barn 2 Dinner Theater in Goodfield. They run Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, 6 o'clock, doors open, and then Sunday at noon for brunch. And finally, Blues in Central Park with Nick Moss and the Flip Tops are at Central Park in Decatur, Thursday evening at 7 o'clock. That's just an example. If you'd like to send us your information about groups you're involved in or simply want to make sure we know about, please send them to this address, willcalendar@illinois.edu. That's W-I-L-L calendar @illinois.edu. we'll make sure they get on our calendar. And please suggest if there's anybody involved with the organization you think might be a good guest on the show. We're always looking for good conversation and good music on Live and Local here on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. Ward Golling's my guest. And I imagine that Nick Moss and the Flip Tops are folks that you're familiar with.
Yeah, I've booked Nick Moss a few times, indeed. He used to do a number of blues shows, especially back at the Blind Pig, but I've also used, and Cowboy Monkeys done some, kind of gotten away from it, but...
Gotten away from blues?
A little bit. I don't know if it's less of them touring or less of the blues fans coming out. I don't know. Just, I've not intentionally moved away from it.
Well, I was going to ask it whether different genres sort of come in vogue or out, or I remember there was a talk maybe a couple years ago, was it one or a few of the clubs in Champaign weren't booking jazz anymore? I never quite got that story straight. I even looked at an old interview of yours that it wasn't jazz, it was all music or something.
Yeah, I guess it comes and goes. Sometimes the agenda of the venue or the bar, you know, changes here and there. For instance, at Cowboy Monkey, we used to do jazz on Fridays from like 5:30 to 7:30. Kind of gotten away from that this particular summer. We decided to forego that just because, you know, to try and focus a little bit more on the food end, the restaurant aspect of the business. So, you know, we might very well get back to that at some point. There are, you know, yeah, different genres based on come and go, I guess, a little bit, or rise in popularity and fall in popularity, you know, based on people's interest or what's hot out there on the charts.
But there is music back at the Cowboy Monkey, right?
Indeed, yeah.
What,
indeed.
What tends to be the mix there right now?
A lot of local bands, primarily local bands, you know, indie rock, rock bands. I don't know. I'm drawing a blank. There's still a smattering of blues or jazz. You know, Candy Foster will play once in a while, or Kilbourne Alley will play once in a while. Desafinado is a band that I enjoy a lot. We'll have them in periodically.
What tends to draw, if you can even answer this, what tends to draw the biggest crowds?
Honestly, it just sort of depends in this day and age on the band. It's not really one specific genre. It's just, you know, sometimes you'll get a band that has a boatload of friends, and and somehow they can motivate their friends to come out every time. You know, there's always a ton of bands who are, you know, fantastic and you love them, but for some reason people aren't motivated to come see them.
That's always a strange thing, and I know as a programmer myself in orchestral music, you might do a show that you think will bring out everybody. It's got some famous piece of music or some famous performer, and
yep,
nobody shows up. And then you do something else that you think, you know, is going to be your wash of a concert, and everybody's there.
You're exactly right. I've had that more than a few times. Hopefully you're pleasantly surprised more often so than not with the shows that you didn't expect to really do anything, but you do have some of those. I've often said that the whole ex-members tag never works, you know, ex-members of so-and-so. In fact, I brought a disc by a band called The Knitters, which is three-fourths of the band X, who was a very seminal punk band. I had them at High Dive a few years ago, and I figured, geez Louise, every fan of X in the world's got to be wanting to see this. But show kind of tanked. Fantastic
came,
show, and it was amazing to see to have Exene Cervenka and John Doe in the house. But like you say, I probably did a local band 3 days later and had 300 people.
Do you try to focus on local bands, or just make sure that they're well represented? Because there's an awful lot.
I would say both. I mean, you've got to focus on them because that's the bread and butter of you're always going to have them. You're not always going to have a great national act touring through or a regional act. You've always got to have local acts to either fill in the gaps or help bring out some extra people, or, you know, fill up your off nights or cancellations, whatnot. But definitely, there's an effort to represent them as well, as you mentioned, because there's certainly a lot of great talent, and there always has been, always will be. So it's a hand-in-hand relationship there.
Do you also try to represent certain tastes or genres that maybe you're pretty sure won't bring a great crowd, but just to make sure that that particular audience base maybe is pleased? I'm thinking in particular of somebody who's actually on this show who I just thought was wonderful. Hadn't heard of her before myself, but that's true for almost everybody who comes here because I'm a classical guy for the most part. Julie Fowlis, she was a wonderful Scottish singer. And I heard not very many people came, but she probably gave a wonderful show.
Well, it was a Monday night, and that's what her tour dictated, you know, as far as how she was traveling. She couldn't really be here on a different night because she was in between Chicago and Minneapolis or something like that. For a Monday night, it was actually went pretty. I mean, there was 50 some people there, and we had extra seating up front, and everybody. It was an amazing show, and everybody was extremely happy with the performance. It was a great show. So,
would you necessarily have expected that traditional Scottish would have brought out more people, or maybe not?
If it had been closer, if it had been a Friday or Saturday night, I think, you know, we easily would have doubled that crowd, and double the people obviously sort of changes the atmosphere a little bit, or, you know, can lend itself to more of a fantastic show. But I wasn't really sure what to expect with that one, you know. I knew that she was going to be great, and I'd known her agent for a long, long, long time, actually. For about 15 years, so I knew it was going to be a quality show and a quality artist. And sometimes you hope for the best. For instance, a genre like that, we used to pack them in for a band called Cool Rua.
Yeah.
At the Blind Pig back in the day. So I wasn't sure how much of a name she was in Champaign-Urbana, but. The people who came out certainly enjoyed themselves, and perhaps she'll be, she's on her way to being a big star, and whoever missed will perhaps pick up on it later.
She's awfully good, and she was wonderful to talk to as well.
She was here in the studio?
Yeah, she was on the, came in and sang a few songs with us, she and her husband. Right. And I later found out that her husband is actually really well known on a different instrument than he actually played with us. I forget what it was, but. That was probably one of my favorite shows that we've had out of many favorite shows. Well, I want to talk in a little bit about some of the process you go through to identify people that are to have in the clubs because you've got to have tentacles out there by now after all these years. What do we got next? Well, and there's actually a connection between what we have next and who we just heard, right?
Sure. I'm trying to think back to where we were. We finished up with Uncle Tupelo, which was Jay Farrar and Jeff Tweedy. Jay Farrar split off and formed Sunvolt. Jeff Tweedy went on to form Wilco. This is from a collaboration they did with Billy Bragg, where they were taking lyrics from Woody Guthrie songs and putting music to them. And I think this is the first, they put out two records of that nature called Mermaid Avenue. Like, this is volume one, and one of my favorite songs is California Stars.
Ward Golling's choice here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. a song with Billy Bragg and Wilco called California Stars, which is a favorite of Ward Gollings. Ward Gollings is the booking agent, I guess, is that a term that is best applied to you, or what would you say your job is?
It's funny. People ask me what my job term is or whatever. Often, a booking agent works fine. Entertainment director, special events guy.
Actually, I got a bit of a lecture. It wasn't really a lecture, but a very brief instructional moment from Seth Fine, who's maybe one of your counterparts over at the Canopy Club.
He's actually my cousin, too.
Is he really?
Indeed.
I did not know that. But it was, you know, I think I may have used the term agent, and he said, well, okay, this kind of person is an agent, and this kind of person is a manager, and this kind of person is a something else.
Talent buyer.
I should write that down, yeah, because I get it all mixed up. I said before we played this last music that I'm very curious to know how you go about figuring out who you want to have come in the club. You know, not necessarily local, but the non-local acts. I mean, you indicated you've got, you know, you knew the producer or the agent for Julie Fowlis for a long time. And
right.
What's sort of the process you go through?
Well, sometimes you gotta dig around for it a bit. Sometimes it just drops in your lap, like I've kind of mentioned before. At this point, or even long ago, I've established long-term relationships with a number of different agents or booking agencies, management companies, you know. And even if I don't know a specific agent, Champagne or my name or the venues that I'm associated with, I guess, have enough of a reputation where an agent they'll find you, you know, via some directory or, you know, Polestar, or just from other agents, they'll know that you're a good club or a good person to work with, et cetera. So, there's a lot of, you know, for in terms of national acts, a lot of, I'm obviously getting a little bit older, so I don't have my, ear to the ground as much as I used to, but you know, oftentimes, like I said, with a booking agent will come to you with something, and just by the sheer fact of what booking agent they are, you know, and their roster, you know, anything on their roster is going to be pretty quality. And you know, then you know, oftentimes you do your homework on the band to see, you know, what label they're on, or you know, how many hits they've got on MySpace, you know, who's listening to it. You know, try to do your homework to get a feel whether it is a, you know, a band that might bring out a crowd or people are in touch with, in tune with, at least around Champaign or Bounty. You know, sometimes it's a geographical thing where, you know, a band's, you could be tearing it up in New York City or California, but hasn't really, you know, made its way to the Midwest or Chicago just yet. We played some Uncle Tupelo earlier. They were doing phenomenal business back in the early 90s or whatever, you know, in markets all across the Midwest, like Iowa City and Champaign, Lawrence, Kansas, Columbia, Missouri, St. Louis, from their hometown, obviously. But I think when they went out, they never were really that popular on either coast. So I don't know why we went off on that geographical tangent, but...
Do you tend to hire people or book people in part on your own taste, or not
sure.
Necessarily?
Definitely. You know, if there's, I get a lot of, you know, obviously demo tapes, or these days people send it to you electronically, which is great. You know, there's certainly bands that, you know, will catch my ear or catch my eye, and it'll be sort of a personal feel. Sometimes you can, as a talent buyer or booking agent, depending upon which one you want to use. I've always tried to, sometimes you got to remind yourself to think with your head and not with your heart, because sometimes if you do go for some of your personal faves, you get into a little bit trouble, perhaps money-wise, because okay. you're too optimistic because you have too much love for a certain band. But definitely, you know, bands that I like, I'm more favorable to book.
So if somebody, an agent you know well, or you know always has some really big names in his or her stable, and they come and they bring you somebody who is new to you, and you maybe listen to some of the sound clips or whatever, and you just think, yeah, I don't like that person. I don't like their sound. Are you inclined to not then book them, or really go with all the other factors, as you said, head over heart? And
sure, you end up in that position once in a while, and I guess you try to tactfully work your way around it by either not having the date available or not having the circumstances available. I don't know. Sometimes you may not like them, but you know that they're going to pack the place. So
right. Well, that's what I was thinking, you know, how much is heart over head there in that case.
Yeah. Well, in the booking business or the bar business, the music business, sometimes I've always taken the approach where, you know, you've always got to take, you know, the good with the bad. There might be a cover band that you hate, but if they bring the people in, that's what puts butts on the bar stools, then sometimes you got to grin and bear it and do that to pay the bills.
And, of course, the bar is hiring you in large part to do that.
That's right.
Make sure that
that's right.
Got the people there. Another musical selection in just a moment. I want to say that you're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. Ward Gollings is my guest. And today's broadcast is made possible in part by a grant from St. Joseph Apothecary in St. Joseph, a full-service pharmacy specializing in compounding medications to meet individual patient needs. St. Joseph Apothecary invites you to join them in supporting WILL. So next we have Joe Strummer and the Mescaleros, another wonderful name. Tell me what you know about those folks, or what's your connection with those folks?
Well, Joe Strummer was one of the founding members of The Clash, along with Mick Jones. The Clash being a incredibly popular punk band, one of the bands that broke punk out of England, along with the Sex Pistols, became one of my favorite bands when I was in high school. Joe Strummer and Mick Jones, to me, were probably what John Lennon and Paul McCartney are to many people. This album actually was put out posthumously. Joe Strummer died a few years ago, a number of years ago. Fortunately, this album was far enough along that it got to see the light of day. Joe Strummer's perhaps one of my biggest influences and my biggest hero. I forget where I was going with The Clash. Oh, I was fortunate to see him in Chicago, what ended up being about 2 to 3 months before his tragic death. I forget what year that was. So, and this particular song, it's actually a Bob Marley cover, and for some reason the video for it's great, it just strikes a special chord with me.
And this album is called Street Chords. Joe Strummer and the Mescaleros, Redemption Song. Bob Marley song here on Live and Local on FM 90.9, a selection today by Ward Gollings.
Old pirates, yes, they rob I, sold I to the merchant ships. Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit, but my hand was made strong. These songs of freedom, 'cause all I ever had, redemption songs. These songs of freedom, these songs of freedom.
Redemption Song, Bob Marley cover, played here by Joe Strummer and the Mescaleros, their album called Street Core, heard on Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. Coming up at about 1 o'clock, I'll have a weather forecast for you. At a minute past, we'll have news headlines from NPR. And Julie Amacher in with the classical music at 106. My guest today is Ward Gawlings, who brings in the entertainment for a couple of the two main music clubs. I think they're the main music clubs, as far as I know, in downtown Champaign, High Dive and the Cowboy Monkey. I was going to ask earlier, I said that at the top of the beginning of the show, where did that name come from? Do you know, the Cowboy Monkey? Always been curious about that.
Well, it's not much to the story. We really, we labored over the name for at least 2 to 3 months. Nothing really grabbed anybody. That would be the three owners, myself and one of the managers at the time. We would get together at one of their houses and sort of shoot back, you know, we would sit around for 2 hours and shoot names around. And like I said, nothing really stuck. And it had been about 3 months and it was getting closer to the opening of it. And it was the night before some papers needed to be turned in to the city, some official things that needed to be filed. And obviously you had to have a name of your business on there to turn them in. So it was kind of the 13th hour and we had to come up with something. And Marco, one of the owners, he threw out Cowboy Monkey, and everybody kind of, you know, turned their heads and scratched their chins or whatever, and it didn't turn anybody off, and quite the opposite. Everybody was kind of like, I kind of like that. We all joked, of course, that it was going to be kind of funny to turn in this, you know, these official papers to the city, and they were going to look at it and go, Cowboy Monkey. What the heck is that? And where did you come?
So he just and people, pulled it out of his head.
It was really just a random thought. I might ask him. I play softball with him. I got a ride home from him last night. I should have asked him, but just kind of came from nowhere. And a lot of people, everybody asked that the first 3 to 6, 12 months that the Cowboy Monkey was open, and there really isn't too much of a story behind it. It was just off the cuff.
He may not know the answer if you did ask him.
That's right.
He'd probably ask it himself.
Yeah.
Probably has asked it himself. Well, we have just time to go out with one more song, and you and I were talking while we were listening to Joe Strummer that sort of amazing to consider how some bands make it, some don't, and why, and who knows. And your next choice is a good example of that.
Sure. The Flaming Lips. Always been one of my favorite bands. They've got a long history in this town, and as we spoke of during the break, they played a number of different venues here, from House of Chin, Mabel's, Cowboy Monkey, when it was Blind Pig, I guess, High Dive. They played Canopy Club. Sure, I'm forgetting something somewhere in there. They've done a benefit for the Josh Gottei Memorial Fund at one point years ago. Oh, Trito's Uptown, that's the one I think I forgot. But like we talked about, a band that labored away for years and years, labor of love, a love of their art, and at some point here in the last 3 to 5 years, I guess, they rocketed up to, not necessarily up the charts, but just became widely popular nationwide, globally.
And this is a song of theirs called Jets.
Yep, it's one of my, it's a kind of an obscure song, a B-side, although I have seen them play it once in concert, once or twice. I think it's on their DVD from the Oklahoma City Zoo as well.
It's the Flaming Lips on Live and Local. Ward Gawlings, thanks very much for coming in and joining us today. We'll have to have you back and have another sample of your record collection.
Certainly. Thanks very much for having me.
My pleasure. It's Live and Local on FM 90.9.